Yep.
Always.
And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 94, Green Lantern. Yeah, we're getting up there, aren't we? Green Lantern, end of an era. And this is Chris Mosby.
And this is Caleb Girard.
And this is Murray Fox.
No.
Yes, it is, actually. Welcome back, Murray.
Thank you.
We scheduled everything just to make sure you could be here, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, man, we missed you.
I'm sure you did.
It's not the same without you.
No. No, well. Family stuff.
No, that's fine. We understand. All right. As the title, let's get into it here. As the title suggests, we're going to be getting into, well, it doesn't really suggest. We're going to be talking about Green Lantern, obviously. But as you probably all know, Geoff Johns ended his 9-year run on Green Lantern this week. It was delayed, but it finally came out. And all the other writers and artists on the other Green Lantern titles wrapped up their run.
They quit in solidarity.
Yeah, I don't really understand that still. But, you know, I guess he was kind of, I don't know, he's probably directing all the rest of them, except for, I don't know if Red Lantern ever had a directions. Yeah, I even was reading those. Oh, boy. Yeah, so this is the end of the Wrath of the First Lantern, the epic finale, Green Lantern number 20.
Sounds like a bad disease.
Well, they dragged this crap out way too long.
Oh, I see. It is a disease. All right.
Though the issue was good. I'm going to go over the issue just a little bit. Basically, I like kind of how it begins. You guys read it, right?
Nope.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because you read it, didn't understand. Well, it starts off like obvious, way in the future, and you got some older Lantern talking to a young recruit, and it's like years after all this stuff is supposed to happen. Well, basically, you pick up this book, you'll get a synopsis in the first, I don't know how many pages, of the entire Green Lantern run, even before New 52. It's like all in there. Plus a continuation, you know, in there of the current storyline. Basically, Hal kills himself to get out of the dead zone, which makes, yeah, that doesn't make much sense, does it? He takes the Black Ring. Sinestro couldn't save Korugar, and it was blown up all the smithereens. Oh, by the way, spoilers, people. Sorry. The Green Ring couldn't do what he wanted, so hey, he went back to the Sinestro Corps, which I was kind of cool. I kind of like that. I like seeing you back to that. So this White Lantern guy was from an alternate universe and from the future as well. Okay, and he was there. Now some of us might remember Krona using his device to see the beginning of the universe, which caused the crisis on the infinite Earth pre New 52, right? Well, apparently, in this rewriting of this tale, this guy shows up and he's human about that same time, and that's when they unwrapped all the emotional spectrum and all that, and he kind of absorbed all that, and, you know, hence the First Lantern, and they've kept him locked up for thousands of years, or billions of years, probably. And he's kind of crazy. He wants to bend the universe to his whim, kind of like Parallax or Green Lantern or Hal Jordan wanted to do back in the day. So that's what that was all about. And then all the cores show up to kick his ass. And it's that part's kind of cool, because you got the Red Lanterns, you got Indigo Tribe, you got the Orange, you got just pretty much all of them. And, hey,
wait a minute, hold on, back up.
What?
The Orange did not show.
orange didn't show? Wasn't Globulus there?
I did not. I don't remember seeing the orange lanterns there. I could be wrong.
Globulus might have been there because he was kind of like Kyle's sidekick, and Kyle sent him back to Larfleeze at the end of it. But the cool thing. Oh, go ahead.
Sure. I thought there was only one orange lantern. Maybe I'm.
Yeah. Well, he had made all his constructs were somewhat sentient, and he sent one with Kyle. I guess he was one of the quote unquote new guardians of the time.
Oh, okay, and, okay.
Yeah, so he's been away from long enough that he's kind of got his own personality again.
Gotcha.
Let's see what happens here. Ring. So, yeah, big fight.
Ring of fire.
Big fight. All the blue lanterns show up, some purples, the greens. Kyle is a white lantern. He shows up. And, yeah, there's all kinds of fighting.
It was – I'm sorry. I know you're trying to do a synopsis here, but
yeah.
That fight was one of the worst choreographed fights I've read in so long. It was so hard to follow.
Yeah, it was hard to follow. I agree. I agree.
And it was like
– kind of, the bad thing about it was is – all the 19s, you kind of had to read them to understand all the different parts. A lot of the other ones previous to this, you could not read and just read Green Lantern and been fine. But all, because I've read all of them that were tied into this. I caught up. Friday was like god awful dead at work. I was the only one in my department. My boss wasn't even there. So I clicked the mouse a few times, and I read a bunch of Green Lantern comics most of the day. So, yeah, those 19s are actually pretty crucial, and that's where a lot of the key pieces come up. Mogo gets reformed. Yeah. Earlier on in this deal, this long, drawn-out thing, Stuart got together all those pieces, and he was able to reform. And what he really helps all the lanterns that they're on Mogo, and they shoot a big old blast on this white lantern, and then Sinestro shoots.
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna correct you real quick.
Yes,
not the white lantern. He's the first lantern.
Yeah, the first lantern. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna correct, but let's. I mean,
oh, no, that's true. You're right. The white lantern is Kyle. So.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The first lantern's already killed at least one guardian. Sinestro shows up, slams the big yellow powder battery right on top of him, and the first lantern's already weak. So, you know, then there's some more ass-kicking goes on. And he tries to show him they've already done that whole alternate future thing. That's when the Indigos show up. And big double page spread of Hal is a Black Lantern again, and he brings everything out of the dead zone to fight too. So yeah, Hal's dead again.
Along with Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Let's see. It took me a second to catch that.
Okay.
And, he does the whole, tries to do the whole alternate future things, blah, blah, blah. And, shows him, you know, when his dad died, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Okay, go on. And so. Fight. Parallax, Sinestro takes Parallax into him, and he actually controls it. Which is kind of cool. So now he's really badass. He rips out the first lantern's heart, and the guardians begin feeling all emotions, which the white lantern had done that. And you know, he says, "I'm a god." Blah blah blah. Let's see. Oh, and then Hal goes into the dead zone and brings out Necron, too. See, this is, this is incredibly confusing. I mean, there's so many people in this thing, it's ridiculous.
It is.
they end up, I mean, I still kind of liked it, but it was very hard to follow. I need to read it again. And the fact that it was $8 freaking. Holy crap.
Was John trying to touch on all of the major parts
yes.
that he...
Not with the battle, and with the battle, but he recaps almost everything that's happened in his entire run. And it, like, tries to do it in 3 or 4 pages. You know? And, yeah, it's a little wrong. It's pretty rough. But, yeah. So, Necron slashes this White Lantern guy. Hal comes back to life. I don't really understand that either. Yeah, so him and Carol get back together. Then the Yellow Lantern show up, and of course they're fighting them, and Sinestro, he's going to go with the power of Parallax, which is a nice double page spread with it, Sinestro and him fight again. It's awesome. And so, yeah, long story short, he ends up getting free. And he's well, he'd already killed all the Guardians but one, because the last one's atrocious. not those ones that were locked up, though. The ones in the Green Lantern outfits, those Guardians, he killed them all. Yeah, very brutally. Not something for the kids, let me tell you. So, yeah. So then that all happens, and then they go back to the future again, and they give up, and everybody lives happily ever after. Oh, but the big thing about it, though, I thought was spooky. Go back a little bit. Where were we? I don't know where that happened. Oh, yeah, Jon Stewart and that Fatality chick get hooked up. Who saw that coming? Didn't see that coming. So anyway, they're back at the Book of Oa, and I don't know who that, you know, anyway, the keeper of the book. But let's see.
Well, we find out who that is, actually, the keeper of the book.
Do they show?
Well, it's implied. They show his hand on the cover of the book, and it's a red, it's a kind of a the it's, reddish.
It's Sinestro, isn't it?
It's Sinestro.
Yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
Sinestro's the book.
Yeah, I thought so, because if you see one scene, you kind of see in his cloak thing with a hood, and you could see that. You can see his teeth and he's the red skin, so yeah. So it shows a guy, an old man, and he's in a bar, and some guy calls him out, and he beats it up, and yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. John Stewart becomes a representative, or a senator, and Mary's Fatality. Kyle turns into Jesus. Let's see. There's a hint that Jessica, I don't know who, the Green Jessica might actually be another Green Lantern. Jessica Cruz is her name. And, yeah. In the wake of the Justice League's death.
Yes.
Simon Baz is all happy. The Red Lanterns are, well, they're pretty much, they're still raging. Yeah, Orange Lantern, yeah. Blue Lanterns, they got, you know, their stuff, and the chick that's ahead of the Indigo Corps, she pretty much, didn't need the ring to make her, nice anymore. And then Hal and, Carol got married and had a kid. Blah, blah, blah. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, I see the hand now. And to come to find out, Ganthet wasn't actually dead. He made a deal with Lorflees. He got the secret that they're still alive. And him and Saeed were reunited with their emotions intact.
It was... Just like this whole run, or this whole last part of Green Lantern, it's been like when the comedies where the guy walks past the table, or like in Ghostbusters, yeah. He walks past the table, it's all set with the tablecloth thing, whips it all off with the with all the stuff on it, and everything flies around. But then somebody came by and reset the table, and it was
And that makes you wonder if it was late if they decided to change the ending.
It was.
You know, so lame. It was kind of lame, parts of it. But they pretty much, they go to the future again. They're talking about Hal Jordan. He was the spark that started it all, and he's, you know, the greatest lantern of all of them, and nice double page spread at the end, and so on and so forth. So, anyway, on as much of congratulations at the end. I didn't read that part.
Lots and lots of them.
Yeah, I didn't see all those. And I also read all the other number 20s as well. So it was interesting stuff there. All in all, they dragged that on way too long. The wrap-up felt like it was rushed. And I don't know, like it had been rewritten in the middle of it, which makes me think that's why it was late. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I've seen a lot better by him. I'm sure he was distracted by everything else going on. All the other books that he's trying to write and everything else. But anyway. And the number 20s, the rest of them, they wrapped up their storylines as well.
End of the day, then.
Mm-hmm. Where are all the Green Lanterns? Like, they're all poised then for, like, their next...
Yeah. So, okay, Red Lanterns, I don't even want to get into that. That was crazy. Here, let me get the number 20s out real quick.
Red Lanterns is going to be Guy...
Yeah, he's going to join that. I mean, that's what they...
But there was no... Murray, there was absolutely no hint of that in this book.
No, there wasn't. That's what I don't understand. I think that's something they just added later.
There's no setup at all in this book for what is to come.
Mm-mm. So it's really just a big fanfare.
Yeah.
End of the Bad Era.
Okay. Green Lantern, yeah. Green Lantern Corps number 20, which actually came out last week. The first thing they see is that guy, the Administrator Salak, he'd been locked up by the Guardians because he found out and was trying to, whatever. And so they kind of fill him in on what's going on. That's when you see Jon Stewart and Fatality. They get naked on Mogo. And, so moving on.
So is that kind of like a threesome then?
Yeah, in a way, unfortunately. Okay. Well, I'm just leaving.
Was Mogo a willing participant, or was he just kind of like a?
He was just laid. He just laid there. Mogo just laid there. So then you see Guy finding out, how all the crap that the Guardians did. They set that evil bastard after his family. He gets there in the nick of time with the Saint Walker's help. He kind of forces him to boost his power up so he can get there in time. Just about to kill his entire family, and he shows up with how much power level did he have built up? He was about to explode. I do believe he was at roughly 325% power level, and he just literally disintegrated the guy. And then it shows him camping with his friends. He decided he was going to stay on Earth. He does it for a couple months, and he decides he can't do it anymore, and he goes off back into space. And it says, never the end. And that's how that ends. It's like, he's going to continue being Green Lantern. Well, that's not what happened. Now, from what I've read, Hal Jordan is going to be the focus of the Green Lantern comic. Not the Simon Baz. I think you'll mostly see him in
Justice League of America.
Justice League, yeah. Which, the Third Army thing.
Simon barely appeared in this Green Lantern number 20.
He was in more of some of the other ones because he's the ones that helped. He's the one that got ended up getting Sinestro out of the dead zone. He showed up in Green Lantern 20. One of those Green Lanterns. It was 19, actually. And, yeah, so that was all there. Yeah, they started out not really relating, but by the time you got to 20, you definitely had to read all of them to follow with the story. And that's kind of the fact that they switch gears like that, that wasn't really cool. Let's see, Green Lantern and the New Guardians, number 20. Yeah, that's where the whole thing with Romulus shows up, I do believe.
So he wasn't in Green Lantern 20. I'm.
No, he. I didn't see him.
Okay. So
he shows him. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say there was no orange.
Yeah, there wasn't any orange in there.
The finale, quote unquote finale.
Well, just there towards the end when you know. Kyle shows up back on Earth. About the time takes place right after Saint Walker helped Guy get back to Earth in time, and they kind of go over. It's kind of like a recap of all the other things. Yeah, they're talking about the Blue Lantern Corps and Carolyn, and Hal getting together. Atrocious is some more focused. And he's going to stay a White Lantern, and he can do all the different spectrums. And, you know, kind of wrapped up some stuff from previous issues. And, you know, he's painting a bunch of stuff, and it kind of talks about his dad, because that's one of the things the White Lantern did, was show what happened to his dad. So he actually shows up and makes contact with his father. And then at the end of it, you see Ganthet and Saeed. Or Sayed, S-Y-S-A-Y-D, the female one, talking about Kyle and all that stuff, and so on and so forth. So that's how that ended.
Well, that's not cool.
That one I might read. I don't know. I'll have to see. Well, and Jon Stewart's going to be the focus of Green Lantern Corps, which I wish they just left Guy. I got to the point where I really liked Guy Gardner, even though he was an ass most of the time. But he was deep down, he was a good guy. He's just a hothead, you know. And but anyway, that's pretty much it. The Red Lantern, that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Because the White Lantern made him got his head all around where, oh, I was ignoring the rage of all my lanterns and blah blah blah, and at one point he decided he was what destroyed his sector, and it was his hubris, and next thing you know it's just a mess, and I don't plan on ever reading one of those again if I can help it.
To turn the focus back on Green Lantern number 20.
Okay, go ahead.
It was a mess. It was rushed, clearly.
Yes, clearly. Clearly, it was rushed.
He really did, as Murray asked, he really did try and jam every bit of his mythos that he created, that he wanted to justify all of it within this one issue.
Literally did. I mean, the rebirth, the whole thing. It's all in there. If you never read a Geoff Johns Green Lantern comic ever, you could have picked this up and you would have got bits and pieces of the whole damn thing.
Everything. And I read the part twice where Hal kills himself but then brings himself back and he's a Black Lantern, but then he's a Green Lantern.
I don't understand how that worked either. I need to read that again.
You're just going to make yourself irritated, trust me. I all this build up with this Simon Boz character, and then they didn't even use him.
Yeah, like issue. I said, he was in the previous issue. He's the one that got him Sinestro out of that dead zone.
Well, bully for him. That was it was a what do you call that? A I don't even know what the word for that is.
Ex machina.
There we go. That'll do it. The stuff with John Stewart, he barely appeared in this issue. So, I mean, it's just there was opportunities, and this was clearly supposed to be a Hal Jordan story. Get it, but he has spent a lot of time making Sinestro a likable, if not likable.
I started to like him too.
A sympathetic character, if not likable, and then he just said, "Ah, screw it, he's yellow again." Whatever. I didn't like that.
I kind of did, but you're right. I understand. I can see where you're coming from.
And I think really for some reason they thought that John's is like, oh, you know what, it's time for me to move on. And I don't think he was quite ready. I don't think this story demonstrates that it was quite time. That maybe a little bit, maybe another issue or two would have been just fine. But there's something about this timing that they had to do it now, or what would happen for another year or something like that. They needed that whole September surprise or whatever.
Well, they're gonna do. They're supposedly supposed to do a villain month coming up. So
yeah. Well, it was. I'm incredibly disappointed with this issue. The price point was incredibly high.
Yeah, it was way out there.
The presentation of the posters for us who read it online was poor. Those were clearly done for the print version, which is fine. It's just fine. There should be stuff that's strictly print. I've said it all along that if you're going to have a print and a digital version, make it worth buying the print version. And those posters at the back of the book were great. They were clearly made for the print version. And what was it like? 15 pages of Jeff Johns, "You're a God" at the end there. How many pages of accolades were there?
I didn't see those until just now.
Oh, it just kept going.
It was 4 or 5 pages at least. Yeah.
Oh, at least. Oh no, it's at least one page for each color of the spectrum. And some of them had at least 2 or 3 pages of stuff.
Wow. He's a big deal.
Yeah, when the boss, if I work for Charles Schwab, and if Charles Schwab retires again, for sure, it will be a huge, lots and lots of stuff printed in our internal stuff about, oh, Chuck, you're a god, and I get it. Jeff Johns, he helped DC revive itself, but it was such a masturbation, but I don't think that's quite right either.
I don't know. They could have got rid of all those walk down, those alternate universe episodes that they did where, he's like torturing them with their emotions and all that crap.
And boy, did they take him out easy or what? I know it sounds silly because they all got kind of, slammed them, but there didn't seem like there was any full-blown consequences. Ganthet's still alive. No characters.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I didn't touch on is all the other Guardians, they were all killed, and the ones that were in that vault with the First Lantern are the new Guardians.
It felt like the consequences were non-existent, and that they beat this First Lantern, and they didn't even beat him. They sent him away. He can come back, anytime they feel like, oh, we need a big bad to show up again.
I thought I'll have to read that again. I didn't catch that.
They just sent him away. He's not dead. He's not depowered. He's just vanished or whatever. And I it was not a good laugh. It was not a good big bad villain. There wasn't anything. There was no connection to the past.
Yeah, it was a weird deal.
You know, Necron at least had some history with the Green Lantern Corps where they did the Blackest Night. You know, and when they did Fear Itself, you know, the Sinestro Corps War, obviously a huge connection to the past of the DC Universe.
Yeah, see, now that is my favorite deal. First, you bring in Hal back, and then the Sinestro Corps War. That was at his peak.
Yeah.
And then everything else has not been near as good.
No, and this was... And it's not even like it pales in comparison to Sinestro Corps War or Blackest Night or any other, you know, quote unquote epic story that's been done in any of the book. It just it didn't feel consequential. It just felt like, you know, John's undoing all of the knot, you know, all the tying that he did over the last few years. Just, you know, next writer, come on in. Mm-hmm. You know, he thinks, you know, at least when Grant Morrison does it. It feels organic. This did not feel organic. This felt very forced.
It was forced.
And I understand. That's what they want. They want everything resets, and the next writer has a clean slate. With some, you know, if they
not
want to
really
use
not really clean, but it is at least everything is wrapped up for sure.
Yeah. Well, Hal Jordan's back. Kyle Rainier's back. Guy Gardner's back. John Stewart's back. Mogo's back. Guardians are back.
Sinestro is Glenn.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
So it's all there. I mean, they're putting the toys back, and yes. Someone else can play with them and do whatever now.
Well, I was immensely disappointed with it, with this storyline as a whole. And then the Third Army. What the hell happened with that? I don't remember
ended abruptly as well, and then all of a sudden you got this White Lantern. He absorbed... I forget how it happened, but he ended up absorbing all the power that they... Because they were using his power to fuel that Third Army, and it backlashed on him, and then he broke out. And that's when it all hit the fan, and all those... The Third Army, they just kind of disintegrated.
There should be consequences. There were, you know, all these people killed.
Well, Guardians are dead. I mean, that's consequences.
Yeah, but, I mean, so...
You're right. All those people that were turned into the Third Army, what happened to them? I agree.
Yeah. So someone saying, hey, Mr. Lantern, you know, because of your connection to Earth, all of these people are dead. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say that... I would be more interested in that kind of story than what we got just... this mm-hmm. last week on this issue.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while I try and make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I should be more disappointed, I think, maybe than I am. But he's been kind of... Things started great when this new 52, but it's been kind of, you know, kind of dragging a little bit, and I don't know. We'll have to see how the new people do it, but anyway.
So, Murray, are you totally jonesing to go out and pick up this issue now?
No. But I may take a look at, I may look at New Guardians. I've always liked Kyle, so I may check in on Kyle.
Hello.
Still there?
Hello. Yep, okay. I'm here. Yeah, I was just saying I'll look in on Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Hal's not my thing.
Yeah, I think you've said that before.
And Red Lanterns doesn't...
The Red Lantern number 20 was... Yeah, they're all getting a brand new team.
They're all getting a completely new team, so...
Yeah, and it's even less interesting to me now than it was before. Because it made no sense.
I think with Guy as a lead, they probably got more stories that they can explore than with Atrocitus. Maybe.
The part that I like those endings at the end of the Green Lantern issue, Murray. They kind of checked in on all the characters, the main characters. However many, what is it, like 20 years in the future or 25 years in the future, kind of check in with them. You know, what are they up to? And usually I like that kind of thing. But that means that the things that they have kind of set up to happen now in the current Lantern titles are going to not have any lasting consequence either. That they've already said, hey, Guy Gardner's going to end up here. This is where Jon Stewart's going to end up. This is where Simon Baz is going to end up. This is where Kyle's going to end up. You know, happy ending for Hal Jordan and Carol Ferris. So
way past time for that to be.
Yeah, but it's basically saying no matter what any writer does, and they can always discount this. You know, it's 20 some odd years of comic book time in the future, so they can always say, oh, you know, alternate timeline. When they reboot the DC universe again at some point, but
go back to the beginning.
Yeah. They can discount it or ignore it as much as they want, but for me, it feels like, well, why should I care if he becomes a Red Lantern when I already know he's not going to be a Red Lantern 20 years from now, and he's going to be he's going to be off running Warrior's Bar on some distant planet.
It's just what he supposedly does. But let's. Just kind of put some positive back into this.
Sure, please do. Please.
Now, the Newsarama had put this together, and they reposted it later, and they kind of redid their site, so it looks a little better. And they're real good at the top 10 lists. So, what they did is they put together a top 10 or 10 things Geoff Johns added to the Green Lantern mythos. So, and let's see, 9 years, 87 issues. So, it's good stuff. Anyway, here we go. Number one, Hal Jordan, number 10, Hal Jordan is a hero again. And basically, that was a masterpiece of writing in my eyes because he completely, and sure, there's holes maybe in some of that stuff, but they took him from a Hal Jordan from, a power-hungry, evil person, the Parallax thing, and he was able to figure out a way to redeem him from all that and bring him back. And I'll say it, and I think I've said this before, but hero gone bad stories are lame in this day and age, okay? It happens all the time now. Every time you turn around, hero gone bad. And anybody that's lame. I'm sorry. It's been overdone. Don't you agree?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he brought him back, and that was great, in my opinion. So,
positive. Let's stick with positive. Let's try and do positive here.
Okay, but anyway.
Okay.
Okay, it says rings, more than just magical plot machines. Early on in Rebirth, Green Arrow tries to use a Green Lantern ring and, pretty much fails. That was a shift from the past, but it seems if anyone could use a ring if they wore it. Remember when the early days of Gerald Jones' run when the rings were stolen by rednecks? And a decision that made every single lantern seem that little bit more impressive. Yes, even Nort. Simply stating that it's actually difficult to muster up the willpower to do anything with the ring, never mind use it for superheroics, was something that made the lanterns just a little bit cooler. Now, I agree with that. Number 8. No fear. One of the biggest retcons of John's take of the GL mythology was the importance of fearlessness. That ring bearers weren't chosen because they were without fear, but because they could overcome fear. Something that at once made the Lanterns a little bit more relatable for the reader who hasn't had to overcome fear at some point in their life after all. And removed one of the more outrageous parts of the core concept, which had even... What?
I don't think Johns did that.
Yeah, it was in the Rebirth and all that. And when they... reestablished all that. That was part of it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something from when actually that Gerard Jones had done when Hal was sporting the gray sideburns for a while there. My bad.
That was part of in the Sinestro Corps.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Because they made a big deal about that, about Kyle not being. He had fear, but he was able to overcome it, and that's when they started showing that.
All right.
Is from what I remember.
Okay.
And that's probably a good... I think that was probably a good thing, to say that someone was without fear is... I mean, I guess it's in superhero land. That's doable, but to say that they have the ability to overcome fears is a little more, yeah, you're right, a little more relatable, makes sense for the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number 7 is called Something Inside So Strong. Before John's, the Green Lantern Corps was powered by a giant Green Lantern and cosmic energy that we didn't really want to think too much about. Now, of course, we know that it's also powered by Ion, an avatar created by the green wavelength of the emotional spectrum. And that Ion, which is based on a pre-existing concept originally introduced by Jed Winnick, is also one of 7 such emotional avatars in the universe. Now, see, I thought that was kind of cool. Parallax was the fear, of course, and it lived in the battery, and there was one for each of them. And they came. There was a deal where they all got loose, and yeah, that was fun. That Ion shared that the giant Green Lantern with Parallax, the Fear Avatar, explained multiple plots from previous Green Lantern stories, also set up a number of new ones, opening up the GL mythology to a whole new army of lanterns of different hues. Which brings us to number 6, the Rainbow Connection. Once upon a time, there were the Green Lanterns plus one villain with a yellow ring and one Star Sapphire. Josh took these elements as a starting point, both expansive and occasionally ridiculous. The Avatar of Love is actually called the Predator. Yeah, that's that one I never did understand. Universe around them taking multiple threads. Okay.
I'm just putting on Rainbow Connection. By
oh, that's what you were doing. Yeah, I get it. These days, okay, yeah. These days, hard to imagine there not being no Sinestro Corps, Indigo Tribe, or Black Lanterns, but all that comes from John's time on the title, and that's one of my favorite things. And then there's number 5, 2 Green Lanterns to every sector. On the face of the notion that every space sector should have 2 Green Lanterns instead of 1 is an unimportant one that's just a fix for the how can we deal with having multiple Green Lanterns at once problem that's plagued the franchise for the last 20-odd years. But there's actually something wonderfully elegant about the way in which opens up the GL concept to dramatic possibilities, creating tension and or comedy within each sector depending on the pairs that are created by the new rule. Plus, it doubles the amount of GLs out there for creators to tell stories about, which is nice. Yeah, that was one of my favorites, which makes more sense, you know, because even cops out on the beat, they have a partner, you know?
Yep.
The structure to the core. With 7,200 lanterns to play with and a reborn core to build, Johns and other writers, notably Dave Gibbons and Peter Tomasi on the Green Lantern Corps, which, yeah, Peter Tomasi's work on that title is awesome. Got to work filling out the small stuff. Can lanterns get promoted? Who keeps tabs on everyone? Where do the lanterns relax? And so on. Dave's fan are more interested in the minutiae of superheroic day-to-day business. It's only a matter of time before someone had to decide whether or not the Green Lanterns had a glorified secretary, Salak. And thankfully, John's led the charge to answer almost every question that could be asked. Whoa, you okay there?
That's me.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. All right, then. It was me. So. Then we got the Alpha Lanterns. John's, with the help of Grant Morrison, came up with the Lantern's own internal affairs division with the only somewhat terrifying Alpha Lanterns, cyborgs whose hearts were literally replaced by Green Lanterns, which allowed them to depower.
That was... in my opinion, that was actually one of the, and I know I was suggesting, you know, really pushing to stay positive here, but I thought that was a missed opportunity in the Green Lantern books, as well as you know, they made such a big deal about it being part of Final Crisis, and then it never had its payoff, mm-hmm. which, you know, was Final Crisis, and, you know, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like they really took the Alpha Lanterns concept far enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
they really could have made them complete scary badasses, and they were scary at first, and then they stopped
being. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That kind of did peter out. But anyway, it says allow them to depower lanterns who were judged to be unworthy of the power and responsibility they possessed. And yeah. But yeah, that was the first sign that the Guardians were up to no good there. And number two, the Guardians as villains. Depiction of the Guardians of the Universe has varied wildly throughout the years, depending on society's take on authority figures in general and the Green Lantern series' take on the concept in particular. They've gone from being all-knowing, benign overlords to out-of-touch bosses who need to spend some time learning about humanity. From aliens with an agenda that we can't understand too well, there's a little chance anyone reading recent Green Lantern titles would consider them anything other but villains. I agree totally. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was kind of a good take.
Yes. Agreed.
And then they said, oh, yeah, okay, number one, the First Lantern. Who is the First Lantern? He was revealed to be Volthoom, a name familiar to fans of DC Silver Age Earth 3, being charged by the Guardians before the creation of the Green Lantern Corps to defend the universe. Who ended up... See, that's not true. He just came there and took it. I don't think they wanted him to. This was written before 20 came out. And another piece of John's expansion of the Lantern's creation myth, the First Lantern suggests that the Guardians have been up to shady business for quite some time and complicated the good versus evil worldview of the organization as a whole. Well, see, that's the thing. They're not really good. If you ever played D&D, there's the alignment thing. Chaos, order, good, and evil. Or law, I should say, is order. Pardon me. They're all about order, and that does not necessarily good. And that's why Sinestro was a thing. He wanted order above all else, and if he had to subjugate the will of an entire planet to get it, then that's what he would do. That's not good, and it's not really bad. It's just order, you know, if you look at it in black and white terms. So I don't know. The First Lantern thing, it could have been a lot better, but it was really confusing how that worked to me. So,
I mean, because it didn't, is what...
No, I don't think it worked, really. It's a good concept, but it wasn't done well enough.
No, it was not.
But overall, he did do some great stuff, but I don't know. Maybe he was on it a little too long.
Because there would not have been a Green Lantern movie.
No.
I don't think that there would be – I don't think that Flash would be as popular. I don't think that –
No,
you know,
he did a great job on that, too.
There's four Lantern books, and it's because of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it four Lanterns or three Lantern books? I don't know, whatever. There's a lot of Lanterns.
If you count Red Lanterns, there's four.
Okay. there's going to be
a fifth. It's a franchise. It's a franchise because John's built it up.
Yeah, and I mean, they were going to cancel it. Completely.
Yep.
So, you know, kudos to him, and geez, you know, 9 years of consistently doing a title, or 9.5 years, whatever, that's pretty, that's impressive.
In this day and age, in the way comics are now, yeah, you get more than 5 or 6 issues out of somebody, that's impressive.
So. Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone who's had that length of a run on a title, and
Wade did 7 years on The Flash. That's the only person I can think of off the top of my head that was in it that long. At least in what you would call, I guess, the Bronze Era. I'm sure there might be more back, like Silver Age-y.
Yeah, oh, yeah, in modern comics, those long runs aren't Bendis. I mean, Bendis does long runs.
Mm-hmm. His Avengers run, though, wasn't 9 years. I think it was only 5.5 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, Peter David on X-Factor probably has more than 9 years, but it's not 9 straight years on X-Factor.
Yeah, yeah. He did have had a long one on Hulk. I have no idea how long he was on it, though.
Not 9 years.
No. Uh-uh. I'm trying to think. Who else?
And he's not the one who franchised the Hulk, either. I mean, the Hulk franchise came later with, like, Greg Pak and some of those other guys who were doing it. You know, Peter David never made X-Factor a franchise. It was always part of a franchise.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. Think what else?
All Levitt's Legion.
Yeah, he did a couple of pretty good ones.
He was on for a good 10. It was close to 10 years.
Was it?
eight or nine.
What I would consider like the Giffen years, or was it on and off for 10 years?
Ended around 89 and started, let me see, I started in 80 and he probably came on within the year, so 81 probably.
It's a good comic book DB here.
Well, it's a
long time.
But that's a different era too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't consider that to be the modern era anymore since I was just a teenager, and those years
are long gone.
and Jeff Johns, in addition to doing, you know, the Green Lantern stuff, he's been doing other things as well. He you know, Justice League, Aquaman.
Yeah, he made Aquaman cool.
He was sort of writing some Flash in the during that time as well.
And yeah.
He did Infinite Crisis. He did Titans. The list goes on of things he was doing while he was still making Green Lantern cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's a writing machine.
Yes, he is.
And he was writing three titles for a while there, and doing corporate BS.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
And as someone who works for a large corporation who's nowhere near his level in the corporation, corporate BS can be very time-consuming.
Oh, yes, it can, especially if you have to deal with Didio.
Yeah, so good for him. And kudos to him, and I honestly hope he doesn't take on any new titles. I hope he focuses his creative energy 100% on Aquaman and Justice League. I would like to see just if you're going to be creative, here, put it all on these two titles. Mm-hmm. And Justice League's not, you know, just like with Green Lantern, it's not just one character. It's a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he has to contend.
He'll have the two Justice League books, and he'll have Aquaman, and I'm assuming he's part of the Trinity of whatever in the Trinity War and whatever's coming after that.
Yeah, he's all part of that.
Still.
And I think he was initially also on
but
the bot.
That's
I think.
What it was. Yeah.
Hmm.
What? You cutting out there, dude?
Yes. Yeah, it helped. What? What? Am I still cutting out?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, he was initially, he helped Andrew, is it Kreisberg with Vibe? The two of them were writing, I think, for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But now it's Sterling Gates, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so tell us about your Comic-Con.
Yes. Comic stories.
Comic-Con. Stories.
All right, so we'll start off with the mundane, which was I got a chance to talk with Peter David for a couple minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
He seems no worse for wear.
Good. That's good to hear.
I look forward to what it, he was unwilling to share what he was going to be working on next after X Factor.
Okay.
But he did sort of hint that he's not going to necessarily have to say goodbye to all the characters he was working with. He said that in a roundabout way.
Oh, I see.
So.
All right. So the X office is going to be keeping him busy.
Yeah, or at least, you know, those characters are going to get, he's going to get an opportunity to revisit or continue to play with some of those characters. But yeah, in what form, I don't know. He was cryptic, and that's fine.
Well, you know.
I got confirmation from Kevin McGuire that he's in fact working on a book with Keith Giffen.
All right, say that again. I coughed right there.
Well, Kevin McGuire confirmed for me that he is, in fact, working on a book with Giffen, but he would not say what. He has, as of today, not even seen the first script of whatever it is they're working on together. He knows what it is, but he doesn't even know what he's drawing yet. So.
Huh. Interesting. So Giffen and McGuire and perhaps possibly...
DeMatteis.
What's his name? DeMatteis.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to bring the Ha 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 Justice League back.
I don't know. I don't know if that fits. I don't think that fits the new 52.
What does fit?
He did say he was irritated with DC's publicity department for sending him for allowing him to go out to cons, but not allowing him to talk about what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh. So. Part of me hopes, kind of, that it's Legion related, but I will.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation that they've already got. I hope they don't.
Well, he would not go so far as to deny that that's what it is, but he did say that was a crazy internet rumor.
So. Yeah, that is quite crazy, isn't it?
Well, I could. Yeah. There are worse approaches. I think I would probably enjoy their take on the Legion, but I don't know if it would sell the way DC wants things to sell.
Which is crap.
But I guess if DC is putting the two of them together, they must feel that there's a market out there for Giffen and Maguire. So it probably doesn't matter what the concept is, really. Because that's probably, whatever they're working on, it's going to be more about the fact that this creative team is getting back together than it is going to be about whatever it is going to be about, I think.
Oh, no, you're right. It's yeah, and we'll see. I mean, he would not say when we're going to find out. He was, again, he had to play it really cagey because that is the world he lives in now is that he can't say what he wants to say. And for those who missed it, Injustice Gods Among Us number 19, he drew, which was a real surprise. I opened
who
up
did?
That. Kevin McGuire.
Oh.
It was a real shocker. I opened it up expecting the normal artists on it, and he had not opened it up. That's a bad. I opened the file, and I expected to see, you know, I expected to see the usual guys on it, and it wasn't him. I mean, it was him, and I was like, "Wow, this is cool. This is Kevin McGuire." I had to name check. It's like, "Wow, Kevin McGuire's right there."
Wow, nice.
I got a chance. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying,
I talked with the guy who does, and I'm blanking on his name. I'm gonna dig up his name here, but. The guy who normally does the art on Injustice Gods Among Us confirmed that it is the number one selling internet Comixology exclusive, you know, straight to digital comic book.
I don't know if I'd ever read that or not.
I tell you, it's dark, but it's really, really good. It is really great takes on pre and post New 52 Justice League. I'm incredibly impressed with it. I every month, a week in and week out, I enjoy reading it. I look forward to reading it. I highly, highly recommend it. Let's see what else. This is a story. This is not a news thing. So,
let's hear it.
I have a Comic Con or a Phoenix Comic Con news story, which I will post pictures of it later.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it's very funny. So, before we left, my daughters convinced me that I should wear a costume as well. They were my oldest was going as my youngest was going as Cleopatra, and my oldest was going as an archer.
Okay.
All right. So they said, "Dad, you got to wear something." So I pulled out my Jedi robe and my piece of shit lightsaber, hooked it on my belt, wore shorts and a funky peace sign T-shirt, and went as that. I was the hippie. I kept saying the hippie Jedi because I had the peace sign and the shorts. It was practically barefoot. So walking around, my robe hanging off me. It was pretty half-assed. I'm walking along and I hear. As I'm walking along, this guy says to me, "Sir, sir, are you a Jedi?" And I turn, and it's Will Wheaton talking to me.
No way.
So I stand there for a second, I think, and in my mind I'm thinking, is he going to fuck with me?
Probably.
And I'm thinking to myself, no, that's not his rep. He's a fanboy, and he's not going to do that. So I said,
Yeah.
I am a half-assed Jedi. It's my half-assed Jedi costume. And he goes, "Bingo!" really loud. he holds up this what they're he and his buddies were playing cosplay bingo at the Phoenix Comic Con.
Oh God!
And I was and he won because he found a Jedi and he got his little bingo card done.
Okay.
And so I said, "Well, because you won, I get a picture, right?" And so I got a couple of pictures with Will Wheaton.
Nice. Okay, that's cool. At least.
Which he normally charges. Actually, I said, "Oh, I get a picture." You could feel him hesitate in saying, "Sure." Mm-hmm. I usually get paid for it, and then but he didn't say that. He was gracious, and his buddy took my camera, took a couple pictures of us, and that was kind of cool. And my wife, who had no clue who I was taking a picture with, we were walking away. She said, "Who is that? Some artist guy?" I said, "No, that was Will Wheaton."
Nice.
And she's like, "No kidding." She turns around. He's like, "Wow, because he's got the beard, and he's not Wesley Crusher, the kid from Stand By Me anymore. He's a full blown adult."
Boom, boom, boom.
She kept saying, she was like, "Isn't he kind of an asshole?" I'm like, "No, that's just who he plays on."
Most every television show he's ever been on.
On Big Bang Theory, he always plays kind of a douche. But
He did it in The Guild, too.
The what?
The Guild.
I don't know what that is.
It's a web thing.
Funny. It's an online. Yeah. It's
Felicia Day.
Yes, her.
She kind of created it, and it's about a bunch of people that play like a World of Warcraft game together. And he plays like a rival leader of a guild.
Does he play Will Wheaton, though?
No, he doesn't play Will. It's the guy's name is – I forget the character's name, but he plays a real asshole.
Well, so that's – I think I have a pretty decent con story. So
that is a good story.
That's cool.
Sure, are you a Jedi?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
If I ever do my memoirs, I'm going to title it, "Excuse Me, Sir, Are You a Jedi?"
Yeah. That's excellent. Awesome. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a good... I need to download that picture from the camera and then post it on Facebook. And
yeah, that'd be neat, man. Have you seen the picture of him and Nathan Fillion and his wife?
No.
He's standing... Nathan Fillion and him are... or standing in one of those things where they pay, you pay to get a picture with him.
Right.
And he's standing there looking over at Nathan Fillion, and his wife is in Nathan Fillion's arms, and he's sitting there looking at him and all pouting. It's hilarious.
Whose wife? Will Wheaton's wife?
Yeah, yeah, he has Will Wheaton's wife, and she's like, she ran up and jumped in his arms, kind of, and he's just standing there.
I didn't know he was married, so.
Yeah, yeah, he's married. He's got like three or four kids. Mm-hmm. He's written a bunch of books about it, you know, his life. And he's got a blog I look at every once in a while. Every once in a while he puts something on there funny.
And I guess they evacuated the Phoenix Comic Con 1 hour before it ended.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, whatever. It was, you know what? I think next year I might do 2 days. It is nice and big. I got a chance to talk with and meet with, you know, talk with in person Josh Dysart. Oh, there's another piece of news.
Yeah.
Dysart's now going to probably, it looks like he's going to be the showrunner over at Valiant now. He's the Jeff Johns of Valiant now.
Well, he does a good job on all the stuff he does. So, yeah, that's great. Awesome.
And I don't know if it's news or not. It could be, but he's going to be taking over Bloodshot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're changing the name of that.
And he's going to be co-writing, something else. Which, again, I don't think is news, but he's the showrunner. He's anytime anything's happening there, he's kind of the go-to guy who's kind of writing the Valiant Bible.
Awesome. That's cool. Pretty cool.
And he's the Masks and Mobsters guy, right?
No.
He is a
Harbinger.
Yeah.
Masks and Mobsters. Guy?
That's a Monkey Brain.
No. I know that, but it's a Josh somebody, I think.
That's Josh Williamson.
Josh Williamson. There you go. All these Joshes need to...
That's right.
Need to... I don't know.
But I'll tell you, Boom and Valiant Boom had a really big presence at this con, and Valiant, it looks like they're gonna, you know, this year they had a decent little booth set up, but I think there's talk that they're really gonna be making a show of it next year at Phoenix Con, which is cool for those of us in Phoenix.
Cool.
So to get all old manny for a moment, but I remember when the Phoenix Con, just when we first moved here 7 years ago, was this little, you know, one day, maybe one and a half day event at a little convention center. Mm-hmm. And now it's full blown, you know, they do stuff until midnight. Will Wheaton is like, he does a whole show there for it. They have all these pro wrestlers. Honky Tonk Man was there. And
yeah, they do that. A lot of them, actually.
They had a big Babylon 5 reunion. A lot of guys were there. Oh,
really?
God. Walter Koenig is one ancient dude.
I know. He is.
He is old.
They're all getting old.
And what's his name? The guy from Animal House, Stephen First. He is old. If you're Babylon 5, I guess, if you're Babylon 5... fan, this was a good con to go to. They had really everybody who was ever on the show.
I really can't decide whether I am or not. I remember I didn't really get into it until the third season, and I've tried to go back and watch the other ones. I have like the first two on DVD, and I couldn't even get through the second season.
Netflix. I don't know if Netflix has Babylon 5, but
I think it's on Hulu, but I'm not positive.
I'm not paying for another service. I already paid for Amazon.
Yeah, I'm going to cancel that because there's really nothing on there that I can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't get Arrested Development on Hulu. So,
yeah, right. They've got original stuff, but I wouldn't have any idea what it is.
Well, it's not Arrested Development.
Yeah,
Arrested Development is on Netflix?
You're making me almost want to check it out. So,
you know, Arrested Development's on Netflix.
Yeah, I heard that.
And then part of it's in Phoenix, set in Phoenix.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Michael attends the University of Phoenix, but then actually goes to Phoenix. So, and that's kind of a joke in itself because the University of Phoenix is not actually based in Phoenix, Arizona. So, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I appreciate that. Well, so that those are my con stories. Again,
that was good. Good stuff.
Thank you. And again, for those who are concerned, Peter David looks fine. I did not see him walking around, but I also didn't see him. He looked like he was enjoying himself. And, you know, everyone who was there, it's a good – all the creators always talk about how nice they are treated at Phoenix Comic Con. And they keep coming back. I mean, it's just everybody who showed up, even if they don't sell a ton – they come back year after year because it's a good networking opportunity and
yeah.
You know, people are friendly, though it is hot as bejesus today, so.
Yes, I got my first sunburn of the year today.
Woohoo!
Did you now?
I did. I like to get my base coat of burn in early.
You're killing me, man.
It's true. Brown? It's important. You got to get your base coat on before you go hardcore.
Do you brown at all?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I'm sure you just burn like I do.
I do. I have pictures when I was younger, and I thought I tanned. And for years, I thought, "Huh, I used to be able to tan. I should go back to that." Somehow, I lost my ability to tan, and then I just realized it was probably like a coloring error or whatever on the.
A coloring error.
Well, you know, like this was before Photoshop or whatever, but
okay.
Clearly.
In the black and white was like really
it was not black and white. However.
In the Sepitone pictures, I looked really dark.
Good lord. Yeah, you're killing me, man.
Yes. All right, I got to go moisturize.
Okay. Dude, good luck with that.
All right, then.
I'm burned.
Now, do you get Memorial Day off. Do you get Memorial Day off, Chris?
Yes, I am off tomorrow.
Yes, me too. Well, Marie, enjoy working tomorrow while we're not.
Okay. Did you guys work last Monday?
I did.
Probably did. I don't remember, to tell you the truth.
Not me, man. I was celebrating the Queen's birthday.
Oh, okay. I see.
Mm-hmm.
The mum.
Which queen? The one that introduced the Victorian era.
Oh, that one. Not the band, right?
The band, no.
All right. Yeah. Don't want to offend your sensibilities or anything there.
I wouldn't put it past Canada to have a day that celebrates Queen, the band.
Are you talking about the queen that started Torchwood? Is that the queen you're talking about?
Yeah, that one. There you go.
Yeah, that one. I wonder if they're going to call it Torchwood Day now. Mm. Anyway.
That's clear. That's me admitting I'm catching up on the phenomenon that is Doctor Who. So.
Well, good. I started watching Torchwood. That's a pretty good show.
Do you know what I did start watching?
What?
That is cool. What? It's something called Orphan Black.
Oh, yeah, I got that queued up on the, the internet device. Yeah, that's
awesome. I like it.
Do you? I got like 8 episodes I haven't watched yet.
I know, I'm only into 2 episodes. It's about this this young British lady who's come to America and she's got this rough life, and then she sees someone who looks exactly like her jump in front of a subway train, and she takes that person's life, and okay. Eventually you learn like she's taken on this role of this American cop,
mm-hmm.
and they look alike, and she has no idea why they look alike, and then as the show ends, that very first episode, she meets another person who looks just like her, but who's from Germany, and eventually we're going to learn. Spoilers that they're all clones, but
yeah, I figured that.
It's kind of cool. I like it.
Huh?
I kind of like it, and
looking forward to that.
It's good. The actress they have playing the clones is really good. Like she can do. Well, I'm assuming she's British, so she can do the British accent really well.
Mm-hmm.
But she can do like an American. She's got like a soccer mom American accent. She's got.
Oh, there you go.
She's got a New York.
She's Canadian.
Oh, well, there you go. So that's kind of both then.
She isn't even playing Canadian yet. Oh, I wonder if
she's from Regina, Saskatchewan.
Oh, hey, easy now. She's a
country girl.
Oh, you said Regina. Okay.
No, it's Regina up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Regina? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that three times fast, man.
I don't know. I saw that episode of Seinfeld.
Anyway, it's a cool show. Check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that. It is in my collection of things to watch on my Plex server.
Let me see if it's on. Is it on the Netflix?
I doubt that.
BBC America.
You might be able to find it on Amazon.
The nice thing about the Roku is that if I punch, there's a search function that will look through all the services for a particular show. Like if you were to type in Arrested Development, it would point you toward Netflix.
I've got to find a way to see that.
It is on Amazon.
But I bet it costs.
Yes, $1.99 an episode, but if you buy a TV pass, it's only $1.89, which is cheaper than comic books, I might add.
But it's not part of Prime, which is a little bit of a...
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, they do that for stuff that's new and ongoing. If you wait long enough, you might get it for free, because that's what all the Doctor Who stuff is on Amazon Prime is you can watch it for free. Well, not free, but as part of the subscription, so...
Yeah. Well, at $75 a year, that's as close to free as you're going to get. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it ends up being cheaper than Netflix, actually.
Yes, it does, because you get the free shipping.
Yes. It ends up being $6 a month that way.
And Netflix is still $8 a month for the streaming only.
Yes, that is correct, sir.
And for a special offer. No, I'm sorry.
So anyway, I think we've covered everything.
That's Green Lantern and Phoenix Con all in one episode.
Yeah, awesome.
And of course, Netflix talk.
Yes, streaming video. It's all the rage. You should try it, people.
And of course, Murray doing his best Zonker imitation, but getting his bass going. So.
Speaking of Orphan Black, looks like... Episode 9 just showed up on my internet device.
Ooh.
Did anybody else get my Doonesbury reference there, or am I the only one who got
it? I haven't read Doonesbury in years, dude.
You got it? Murray, thank you. I appreciate it.
Murray got it? Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yes. Zonker was a professional tanner. So.
Oh, okay. That sounds familiar. All right, well, listen to the... Oh, well, sorry.
I only wish... I can't be a professional tanner. I can be a professional burner, and I can do that really well.
I'm pretty good at that, too.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see here. Yeah, we should wrap this up. I believe I have some pork chops I must fricassee here.
I got to grill some burgers.
Well, all right, then. It's the grilling time. Okay, let's see. Let's start it off with, first of all, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelawbox.com and tell us what you think. Heard from our British friend in a while. Hope he's all right out there.
Yeah. British people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, no offense. But anyway, or you can go on Facebook and join our growing cast of characters. I think that's a safe way to put it.
And by the way, hello to Evan. I'm sorry I missed you at the con. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Our cast of characters on there. And join the conversation. Sometimes it gets a little heated, but hey, you know, what can we do? That's the internet. And then, of course, you can make comments on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. Nobody's ever done that except for Murray, and we ended up bringing him on the podcast, so nobody else comments anymore.
Yeah.
So who knows, you know, you comment enough, you might get a guest spot, you know, that's anything's possible. With that, that's it for this week. So we're out.
Good night from Phoenix.
Good night.
Good night and good luck. Hey, 3, 2, 1.